You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Greg Ducharme, joined tonight by Sia Najad, and we're breaking down the second round action from the Century Tournament of Champions. Sia, welcome in tonight.
Thanks for having me, everybody. I don't normally show up on the recap episodes. I got to say, this primetime golf thing, listen, I know it's not primetime in Hawaii, but I could really get used to this. Greg, is there a way for us to get maybe a little bit more primetime golf?
Well, what you can do, see, is DVR it during the season, and you can watch it whenever you want. But it is nice this time of year. If you're on the East Coast, like Sia and I are, it's a nice, relaxing evening watching golf. I mean, you turn it on at, you know, after dinner, right? And you get to relax and watch a little bit of golf all night, which is really fun.
Yeah. And, you know, it would be good for golf, too. Listen, I understand the impracticality of all this, but I'm just saying, like, this time of year, well, golf is year round for the most part. Like, you've got the doldrums of, like, the NBA season, regular season that nobody really cares too much about, the Major League Baseball season that just kind of drags on until the playoffs. Like, golf could own that market, especially with the betting opportunities that golf presents, whether it's DFS or actual betting. It's just, it would be so nice to be able to engage in all of that during, non-football season.
Right. And when you get leaderboards like this, it really helps. We have quite a leaderboard tonight as we're taping right now. Colin Morikawa is in the lead at 16 under, has a really good look at 17 to go to 17 under. And of course, 18 is a reachable, even though it's 676 yards. It's way downhill and a very reachable par five to finish on. So he's going to have a good chance to extend his lead, but he is ahead of Scottie Scheffler, who's at 14 under, JJ Spahn, who's playing in the same group as Morikawa. He's also at 14 under. And then we have Jordan Spieth, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Tom Kim. This is kind of shaping up to be exactly what we hoped for when the designs were made for these designated events.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit of like cheat code here, right? Because we have some of the best players. I mean, I guess in these elevated events, designated events, we're going to have that too. We're going to have the best players in the world. But because there's only 38 at this point, there is. And by the way, can I just say my bad on Xander? Like, clearly I caused an aggravation of that back injury. We can talk about that some other time, maybe on the Monday DFS show or maybe some other recap, Greg. But like, that's just so standard. But what I was going to say was, you know, we have the best in the world here with some minor exceptions, obviously. So I'm not surprised the leaderboard is super crowded. I am a little bit surprised as Colin walks off with a par on 17. I'm a little surprised Colin's playing this well. And I'll tell you another thing. Scottie Scheffler, like, I think this thing is up for grabs between Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler. And I understand Colin's in the lead. He's going to be the betting favorite as we talk right now and by the time this podcast ends. But I think Scottie wins this one. I think the putter just kind of is like a zero putter the rest of the way. His ball striking has been automatic.
Well, I'll give you something. Let's start with Colin Morikawa. We'll dive a little deeper into this. He started his round, made 4 birdies in his first 5 holes, which got him to 13 under. He's added 3 more on the second 9 so far. So he's at 16 under, missed opportunity there at 17. But you still look at what he's done on the greens. And so far he's gained over the course of 2 rounds, he's gained 3.6 strokes putting. Now, I was doing a little digging in his career, looking on rickrungood.com, of course, and every time in his career he's finished with three or more strokes gained putting, he's finished inside the top seven. Two of them are wins. And all of his wins with measured strokes gained statistics, he's gained at least 2.6 strokes putting. So he has this tendency when he gets going with the putter, he really can get it going and he can keep it going. And my one concern for Scotty is Morikawa going to slow down on the greens? Of course, you see that miss there, and he has missed a couple of others. But do you think Morikawa can keep this up, or as the leader in strokes gained putting right now, are you worried that that's going to falter over the next couple of days?
Oh, no, I think it's definitely going to regress. It's just a matter of how far it regresses. And honestly, Greg, you would know better than I would. I mean, do you attribute a little of this? Is this just a pop, or is this new putting grip that is really kind of giving him some peace of mind on the greens?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, Sia. I mean, this is something that Morikawa has done throughout his whole career. And I think you can track some of the pops that he's had. Which are pops, quite frankly. I mean, you look at what he did in his last two measured events. The guy lost six strokes putting in each of them in the last two measured strokes gain events. Just putting. He lost six strokes each. And now all of a sudden he's leading the way. But he's done this before in his career. He went to from blade to mallet, from mallet to blade, from a conventional grip to a claw, from a claw to a conventional grip. And so I am seeing Morikawa be one of these guys that changes and uses the change as a spark. It's almost like it's a new interest for him.
Yeah.
It elevates his interest, and all of a sudden we see a pop. So while it is a pop, what I've also seen with him is when he starts to feel it and he gets a little confidence and he gets himself in contention, it doesn't falter the way somebody who's never finished inside the top 128 on the PGA Tour in strokes gained putting, it doesn't falter the way you would expect a player like that to falter. So I'm very curious to see what happens. But there's obviously a lot of golf left.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And if you're looking at the model, taking a guy who's leading the field in strokes gained putting through just two rounds, with just a two shot lead over somebody who's really hasn't found it with the putter yet, who's really struggling. Scottie Scheffler right now is 30th in a 39 player field. Well, now 38, thanks to you and Xander. You would take Scottie Scheffler. You would take the guy that's struggling, right?
Yeah. I mean, conventionally, that's what you would do. But to your point, I mean, Colin could potentially keep this up to some degree, but I don't know. Let's file this away for the DFS show for the Century Tournament of Champions in 2024, because is it team no putt? I mean, did you see what Luke List did on the greens today?
Yes.
What is happening? What's actually happening?
And he came up on Monday, on our last Monday episode, and we kind of laughed it off in a way. No, again, a lot of golf left. But yeah. I find it very interesting. And of course, all these players are so talented. They're here for a reason. They either won on the PGA Tour or they earned their way to the Tour Championship and got themselves into this event. So they're all very capable, but there are definitely some like Luke List who you wouldn't expect. But see, I want to transition to Scotty now, who has a chance to become world number one again this week and is really hitting the ball as well as anybody in the field. In fact, better than anybody in the field. He leads in strokes gained tee to green, and that this is his first trip here, and it looks to be paying. It looks to be a really good golf course for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been kind of dominant. I mean, greens in regulation, tee to green, ball striking, however you want to look at it, he's really dominating. And again, the putter, and I looked at his putting earlier today. I'm trying to compare round two to round one, which maybe you can do that. But I mean, it's not, you know, it's bad, but it's not awful. I feel like we could see some progression there. And again, if Colin Morikawa regresses even a little bit, I think there's only so many people that can compete here. I would probably put all the guys that are 10 under and above. I think they still have a legitimate shot at this tournament. But, you have to pass so many people. And one of those people is Scheffler. And I don't really see him backing down from a ball striking tee to green standpoint. So I could see him being in the lead at the end of round three.
Yeah, I would not be surprised either. And you look at some of the things he did comparing round one to round two, he lost 1.6 strokes putting in round one. Now, he didn't make a putt outside of 6 feet. He made 65 feet of putts total. He had 31 putts on the day and shot 6 under par. I mean, that's incredible. That's an incredible number. And then you look at what he did today, and he gained 0.2 strokes putting, which was nice, but still only made 68 feet of putts. And here he is sitting at 14 under par. So he is in second right now in strokes gained approach the green. As I said, first in tee to green. And there's something about this venue to me. We talked about this on Monday as well, where you have a lot of these uneven lies. It asks for a little bit of imagination, a little creativity in the game. And it seems like just a perfect fit for Scottie.
I totally agree. And then, you know, there's Spieth right below him where you would say, well, that describes Jordan Spieth as well. As far as, you know, not to change the subject too much, but I mean, you're not like Colin Morikawa is plus 180 to win this tournament. Scottie Scheffler's plus 300. At least that's what I'm seeing. Like, it's not bettable, right, Greg?
No, I don't think so. Especially not Colin. If I'm interested in Colin and I didn't get anything pre-tournament, I'm going to wait and see what happens tomorrow. And if, you know, he gets off to a start tomorrow, like John Rahm does today, where maybe you make a couple of bogeys in the first couple holes and that number gets a little more favorable, I may shift my interest. I do have a really good feeling about Colin. I have a really good feeling about Scottie, but I think as far as the odds board is concerned, I think you got to look a little farther down the way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I was actually, you know, we've got some, I see a question in the chat from Joseph Bose, and I think I kind of alluded to this, but he says, how far behind is too far with this easy course? So to me, Greg, the easy course, actually, you don't want to go too far back when the course is easy because you know there's not as many pitfalls with the leaders. But more importantly, with the Century Tournament of Champions, you know, look at the leaderboard. You know, it's one thing if you got a guy that's like John Rahm and he's 8 or 9 back and he only has to pass one or two superstars ahead of him among the 10 or 15 people he has to pass. Well, in this tournament, let's go to Tony Finau, for example. I think that's like the lowest I would consider going.
Yeah.
And he's around that 28-1, depending on where you're looking. And I think that's realistic at this turn. I think Tony Finau could get hot. You know, he walks away with an 8-under day tomorrow, and all of a sudden he's in it with some faltering up top. But the long story short here is, look who he has to pass. I mean, Tom Kim, John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa. Like, so what's the likelihood that he's going to have an amazing day and all those other guys are just going to be, you know, subpar, so to speak. And that's the problem with taking a guy far down the board for this particular tournament. Talk to me in a few weeks and we're going to have a lot of really good value plays that are, you know, eight back after day one and 80 to one.
You know, I do. At the same time, while I agree with you, I also think of Xander Schauffele when he won here. He was five shots back of, or maybe it was seven shots back. He was significantly back of Gary Woodland, that shot 61 on the final day. And all of a sudden he ends up winning. Gary Woodland shoots five under with a somewhere between five and seven shot lead entering the final day and loses. But the difference was Gary Woodland was running away with it. And you didn't have this number of players in there. And I know that when you hear Gary Woodland's name, you're not thinking of Colin Morikawa or Scottie Scheffler or Jordan Spieth or Matt Fitzpatrick or John Rahm. You're not thinking of that caliber player. But back then, he really was. You know, he was the U.S. Open champion. And now, in this case, it's a little bit tighter. And while maybe a Morikawa or a Scheffler, any of those players I just mentioned has an off day tomorrow or Sunday, it's much more unlikely that all of them do. But I still think if you're, and Morikawa right now at through 17 holes is at 16 under. So six shots over 2 days on this golf course, I do think is manageable. I really do. And then you back off a little bit and let's say you rule out Morikawa, Scheffler and Spahn, tall order, but those guys, if they shoot five under, you can make up three shots on them. Yeah. So I wouldn't rule out anybody in double digits or better. I think all those guys have a legitimate chance. I start to worry when you get into the nine unders. That's kind of my line. So I think Tony Finau, I agree with you, is as low as you could go. And I also think that he has a really nice profile for a weekend comeback.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think Tony Finau, you know, that number is sort of, you know, changing as we're talking, but you know, it's going to be, because the round's about to end, it's going to be somewhere between 25 and 30 to one at most books. And it's not a play I'm super excited about, but it's a play that I think just from a value standpoint, like, and I'm looking at everybody else, it's just, there's nothing super appetizing here. And again, it's because there's so many people to pass.
Right. But I will say, I think Tony Finau is appetizing to me. Yeah. It's a long shot. You know, as long as you're going here is 30 to one. But you look at what he's done so far this week, a guy coming in who's gained strokes putting in six or seven straight events, all of a sudden is losing slightly. So he hasn't quite found it on the greens yet. And he's still in contention. He's hitting the ball very nicely. He's ninth right now in the field in strokes gained tee to green. So I think Tony certainly has the firepower to make up six shots, seven shots to a weekend, even in a really strong field. So Sia, before we get out of here and wrap up tonight's episode, I got to get your final pick. Who do you think takes this thing down?
Yeah, I said it at the outset. I do think it's Scottie Scheffler. I really think he's just playing so well. I expect Colin Morikawa to regress a little bit, not a lot necessarily, but it's so funny because he's, I mean, we'll see what Morikawa does on this last hole, but Scheffler's going to be two or three shots back and he's been a bad putter. And we know he's been a bad putter like for the last however many months it's been. But I mean, it's very easy to make the argument that Scottie is going to stay, you know, sort of on top of Colin from a ball striking standpoint, but that he'll be a zero putter and that Colin's just not going to putt this well over the last 2 days.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the model for consistency would point to Scottie Scheffler. And you know, I've thought for a long time, real quick before we get out of here, I've thought that Scottie Scheffler, even in his struggles, has shown us that poor putting, he can still contend. And the question is he going to be able to get the putter together enough to win? And jumping that hurdle is a really big deal. But the thing is, and what I like putting the money on here is that it only takes one round. And if Scotty gets it going for just one round, it doesn't have to be both days over the weekend, given the position he's in. One round, and all of a sudden, you could see him holding the trophy, see him as world number one again. So I think it's a really smart play here, Sia.
But you like Colin, I assume, to win.
I like Colin. Yeah, I think Morikawa, when Yeah, it's hard. It's so hard to say, but I just have a feeling that he's going to keep it going with the putter. I don't expect a regression quite as much as you do. And I think Morikawa has missed plenty of opportunities on the greens too. I don't think this is lights out. It's just been good. And I think you might see a continued, you call this a spark. I think the spark continues. So, but hey, Sia, thanks for joining us tonight.
Had a great time. I'm happy to come back anytime. Maybe I'll see you guys tomorrow night as well. But either way, if I don't, the DFS show on Monday, everybody make sure you join, because the Sony is going to be really fun to talk about.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Looking like another really solid field there. More primetime golf coming at you next week, where we'll be, we're in the groove now. It's 6 days a week here at the First Cut Podcast. And but before we get into all the Sony action, we will be back tomorrow night. And of course, Sunday night to wrap up the final round of the Century Tournament of Champions. But for Sia Nejad, you can find him on Twitter at Sia Nejad. I'm Greg Ducharme. I'm on Twitter at The Real GFD. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.